This is a mother-daughter podcast, but it is not for kids. This podcast will be discussing adult subject matter that may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion advised.
And I'm Kat's mom,
and this is Don't Look.
That's our Game Grumps opener.
Hello, and welcome to the Don't Look podcast. My name is Kat.
And I'm Kat's mom.
And this is a podcast where
I watch movies, uncomfortable movies with my daughter.
So you don't have to with yours. In case you could not tell, we've been watching a lot of Game Grumps recently. My mom has recently gotten into the Game Grumps, just me watching them for years and talking about how awesome they were.
I had no idea.
She didn't. I didn't know what
their names were until recently.
That's true. They were just Grump and not so Grump.
I like Grump best.
I like not so Grump best. Dan Avidan, you rock.
What's his name?
Dan Avidan.
That's his name?
Yes.
That's his real name?
That's his real name!
It's silly.
It is silly.
They're all silly.
They're all silly.
Didn't tell me how funny they were.
I did many times, but she didn't understand the concept of watching someone else play a video game.
I still don't.
Yet you sit there and chuckle like I'll come home and I'll find you watching Grumps now.
Well, because they're funny.
Exactly. That's the point.
This is now a Grumps household.
It's even a Grumps household.
Even the Hubs is watching the Grumps.
That's true. All right, we have so much to go over.
We have so much to go over. And a lot of it has to do with Game Grumps.
I can't just keep talking about the Game Grumps, just how amazing they are. Shout out to the Grumps if they're listening, which, I doubt, but
Grump is the best one.
Team Not So Grump. Call us. We'll be on your show. You can be on our show.
Yeah, call us. Please don't sue us for stealing your opening. We didn't. We're giving you total credit.
And we really
it's not
are.
Like we make any money anyway.
We make no money. This is not a monetized podcast. At least not yet. Maybe one day. High hopes.
Look to the future.
Look to the future. Anywho, there's a lot to go over today.
Can't believe you said anywho.
What do you mean? I say that all the time. Lots to go over today, but today's a special episode.
Special episode.
Special episode. Do you want to say why?
No.
Okay. Today is a special episode because we got a requested movie from our good friend Steve Fishman.
Steve Fishman.
Mid-time listeners, from a few episodes ago, will know.
Well, the Super 8 will know.
The Super 8 will know of the origins of Steve Fishman.
But Steve Fishman is my profile picture.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
All that you really need to know is that Steve Fishman is a dear, dear friend of ours and a fishman.
Yes.
Steve Fishman, the fishman.
The fishman. It's all right there in the name.
It's all there.
Yes.
But he requested that we do a movie just for him. And yes. The movie that he requested is
The Shape of Water.
Which is a great movie. It's
fishman heavy.
It won what? Best Picture?
Yeah, it won Best Picture for 2018 and just a lot of other stuff, music and costume design and all kind of cool stuff. So pretty significant film.
I have not watched it since the release when we watched it in the theater together.
I have not watched it. I don't think we saw it together. I think you saw it with your grandmother.
I feel like I'd remember if I saw it. I really thought I saw it with you.
I thought you saw it with her.
God, I hope not.
Did
I really hope that I didn't. I really thought that I saw it with you.
I mean, it was a number of years ago now.
If I
know it doesn't feel like a long time ago, but it was 6 years ago.
I was what that one for 2018, so I was at most
it came out in 2017, so you would have seen it then.
I was 15, 16.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so that memory might be a little fuzzy.
It's definitely fuzzy. I really thought it was with you, and wow, if it was with my grandmother, that's a whole nother level of uncomfortability there.
I think you blocked it out.
I think I might have.
Yeah, because I think I saw it with Smosh, and I think...
The three of us didn't go see it together?
I don't know.
Are you like 100% sure?
I'm like 85% sure.
All right. Well, no matter who I saw it with.
I'm like at least like a B-level sure. B-level of sureness.
No matter who I saw it with, I definitely saw it when I was maybe a little bit too young to see it. And I remember it being very uncomfortable for various different reasons.
I mean, I don't remember...
I remember some
seeing
uncomfortable.
This with you.
I remember. Well, that's fine.
And I feel like I would have.
I just multiple times remember wanting to like sink into the seat and die in the theater, and then being like, "Yeah, we weren't expecting that."
Because this would have been around the time of the original full frontal nudity mm-hmm. that we had seen in 1984. So it would have been around that same time frame.
Yeah, I really thought, I don't know. Maybe I'm mistaken, but I just remember.
I don't know. Like, now I'm really confused. Well, anyway.
I remember leaving the theater and thinking that was a lot more uncomfortable than we expected it to be.
Well, I mean, you don't often see a movie that is so Fishman heavy and
no.
expect it to be a little sexy.
Yeah, no.
So,
very, very sexy.
Yeah. I mean, it was a very sexy film to win Oscars like this. Not that sexy films don't win Oscars, but interspecies sexy films?
That's
maybe not so much.
It's rarer.
Yeah. Although, I mean, is it really interspecies? I don't know. Because the end is kind of like, I don't know.
I do want to go over our life things as quickly as possible, because two very big things happened. Mm-hmm. One very big and one slightly less big thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
Blobfest. We hinted at it in our previous episode, and unfortunately with timing, it was like right after Blobfest that episode came out.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a wonderful, great time.
It was a really good year.
It was.
It was a really, really good year.
The stage show was really good. Shout out to Matt McGinnis and Aurora Gorealis. I mean, just everything about it felt very good this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like it's back on track.
Yeah, I agree. It's missing some of those like core community things that it had initially, but
yeah,
I think that it's
kind of missed that.
It's kind of evolved past that almost in a way that it's still good despite not having those things.
Well, I miss the feet first dancers.
We all miss. We all miss the feet first dancers and always will. And we all miss Mr. Lobo and the patient creatures, and we will always miss them. But I think that they did a pretty good job this year.
They did. They kept it moving. It was funny. The pace was better. I will say Aurora Gorealis did some covers instead of her original stuff, and she slayed, which was awesome.
Yeah, kudos.
Yeah, so it was pleasantly surprised to see that, and it was just like an all-around good time. We had much better weather. Mm-hmm. This time we were very nervous because the forecast was kind of up and down. We've had a lot of rain here in southeastern PA lately. We had no rain for a very long time, and now it's just we are inundated with rain. And it was kind of the forecast was back and forth, so it ended up being a really beautiful but super, super, super hot day. So we were grateful for that.
Yeah, and there was a lot of cool vendors and stuff, which is always a good time.
Yes, on super cool Saturday vendors. Super cool vendors.
And I won first place in the costume contest.
Oh, you're just going to go ahead and sneak that
just
in?
Just sneak that in.
And may have been covered by the New York Times.
Only in the digital, though. So I mean,
only
like,
digital, not print.
Does it really count?
I think in this day and age, it probably counts more.
Nah, I don't know. Someone, Bob, shout out to Bob from the Colonial Theater, posted like a thing about how the Colonial was in the New York Times. And someone commented underneath, is it in the digital version too? I don't buy print news anymore. And I was like so excited. So I was like, yes, and I'm there. The most important.
I don't think we mentioned, but Kat was actually Carrie this year. We've been kind of holding off on doing Carrie for a long time. Just because I feel like it gets overdone. And I think mm-hmm. we just didn't want to go down that road. And we... finally bit the bullet and we did it, and we kind of went back and forth as to what we're going to do and how we're going to make it work. And in the end, we had a nice tipping bucket action with some glittery streamer blood that came out, and we had a really cool dress from a vintage pattern that we used, and in the whole backdrop from the senior prom and all that. And we're really pleased. We're really pleased with the first place finish this year.
Yeah, so it came together really good.
Yeah. It could not have gone better. Really happy.
Really happy indeed. I have some ideas for next year, but they're at the stage where they're completely impractical and don't make any sense.
I don't even know them yet, so this will be exciting for me to hear.
You do. I told you about them, and you're like, no, that doesn't work.
You did?
Yes.
I don't remember. I think I had heat stroke.
Probably. And then this past weekend, we went to, what is it called? Leesport
Farmers Market for the Southeast Pennsylvania Halloween Flea Market. It is an annual tradition for 4 years now, I think.
I couldn't remember if it was 3 or 4.
I think it's 4 years, and it... For me, this really feels like the kickoff to the Halloween season.
I would agree.
So I know people say spooky season starts in July, and for me, spooky season doesn't end. But I feel like this really is like it sets the bar for like when it really feels like we're in full Halloween mode.
Right. And there's a lot of discussion, especially in like this time of year, of, oh, it's too early for Halloween. Oh, it's complete like officially Halloween season now. But Southeastern Halloween Market has come and gone, so it's Halloween season as far as I'm concerned.
I'm late.
Yeah, right?
Very late to the party, and this rain isn't helping.
As far as we're concerned, behind on projects.
Behind. I feel like I'm always perpetually behind on projects, but we've got some corpsing. You can see a little clip of some corpsing on our Facebook page, and it's... paper mache and paper mache clay and corpsing full steam ahead. I have my miter saw set up now.
Very exciting.
I'm very excited for that. So I got to get my table built and then my workbench built, and then we'll be hopefully building some coffins this year.
Yeah. Goal is to break down pallets, build some coffins.
Yep. So already behind.
And we'll give a bit more details on like what we got and saw at Blobfest on the Southeastern towards the end when we do our shout outs, just to kind of keep this bit moving.
I mean, we had so many cool vendors, and I will just say that I got an embalming machine.
Check out our socials for that as well, our Facebook and Instagram.
Yes, please.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah. And we met another podcaster while we were there, which was pretty cool. It was the first time I think we've ever seen a podcaster at one of these. So
yeah. Or maybe it's the first time we noticed it.
I don't know. I feel like we're pretty thorough when we go.
I as well, but I just don't know if we like cognizantly would have made note of it before.
Maybe. I don't know. But
they had a booth and were handing out little business cards.
Yeah. So we picked it up and I started listening. So now we're subscribed to the Haunting You podcast.
Yes. You like the letter U because it's like, yes. Haunting University.
It's like Haunting University. And they it's another batch of home haunters, which, you know, you can't have enough home haunters if you ask me. You know, just sharing their version of you know, a good way to go about starting your haunt up and finding supplies and doing costumes and just, you know, from soup to nuts, like how to have a successful home haunt, which is pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, no, it was really nice getting to see another podcaster trying to find their fan base. And I don't know what else they had going on. I just saw them handing out business cards, but yeah, we could definitely do that with like stickers or something.
Yeah, because now we have our cool stickers.
We have our cool stickers now.
Yeah, for sure. They're pretty awesome. So very excited. They look sweet. So now that we have them, and we were able to pass out a couple at the flea market, which was nice.
Yep. Send us an email and we'll send you a sticker. We'll mail it to you.
Yeah. And we're also going to plaster them
everywhere that we can. We have like 100 stickers, guys. I don't know where we're going to put
all. I know
stickers.
Exactly where I'm going to put all of my stickers. I'm so stoked.
Okay. I'm very excited for you.
All my 50 stickers. They're all earmarked.
I'm definitely putting one of them by the bus stop, but
okay,
that's the only one I know where it can go.
All right. Well, how about actually we move on and have a little content that people actually want to hear about?
All right. Sounds good.
So we're going to be talking about The Shape of Water today, courtesy of one Mr. Steve Fishman. It is a 2017 film. It is rated R. It is a running time of 2 hours and 3 minutes. And I think there are a pretty good handful of uncomfortable moments in here. Like Kat said, we both have seen this one before, so there won't be any surprises, although it has been... We both did see it in the theater, whether together or apart, no one is really sure, but it has been a while. We have not seen it since the theatrical release, so pretty excited. It is a Guillermo del Toro joint. I love him.
You too.
He is just a fantastic storyteller, and it's like a fairy tale for a grown person, which is just lovely to see. You will recognize a number of people in here. Sally Hawkins is the main role of Eliza Esposito. Octavia Spencer, what hasn't she been? And she's fantastic. Doug Jones as the fishman, and pretty much any fishman or full-suited character you've ever seen on screen is Doug Jones.
I love the thing on Facebook where it's like, why can't I find a guy like this? And he's like, hey... Like, no, like, that's literally me in this suit. What is, you know what I'm talking about?
And it is. It's always him. I don't know how he does it. He must have, like, no sense of claustrophobia at all. Yeah, and he must not sweat.
Able to be, like, so animalistic as well and, like, take on that creature vibe is really cool.
But I will say my favorite thing that he does is Baron Afanas in What We Do in the Shadows. That is, I love Baron Afanas. Like, probably my favorite. It's fantastic. Also Richard Jenkins, who you've seen in like a ton of stuff. I mean, just anybody that you know is in this movie. Well, not anybody, but you know all the people that are here. You know all the key players. You've seen them before. So it's definitely a good time. Very excited.
Yeah, Steve Fishman gives this movie 2 fins up.
2 fins up from Steve Fishman. Steve Fishman says, check it out.
Steve Fishman approves this message. Sorry, we're deep in political ad season.
Yep. All right, so should we get rocking and rolling?
Yeah, what kind of snacks are we going to have?
Fish sticks.
I think they eat eggs, right? Like, I remember the sign language for
eggs. For eggs, yes. And you know what? I just found out that Molly Maguire's has scotch eggs again.
Oh, you love a scotch egg.
So I am hype. I actually had a scotch egg. I didn't even talk about going to Minnesota. You weren't there, but I was.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, we went to go see Riff Tracks in Minnesota, which was a mixed bag. But, you know, hey, Tim Waltz. So there you go. So, yeah, I'm all in on a scotch egg.
All right, we'll get from Molly Maguire's, have some scotch eggs.
And what, like fish and chips?
Yeah, maybe like fish tacos.
All right, that sounds like an awesome plan.
All right.
All right, we'll see you on the other side.
If I told you about her, the princess without voice... What would I say?
Eliza, come on. Eliza, hurry.
She deaf?
Mute, sir. She can hear you.
You clean that lab, you get out.
This may very well be the most sensitive asset ever to be housed in this facility.
You may think that thing looks human. Stands on 2 legs, right? But we're created in the Lord's image. You don't think that's what the Lord looks like, do you?
This creature is intelligent, capable of language, understanding emotions.
When he looks at me, he does not know how I am incomplete. He sees me as I am.
J'avoue, j'en ai bavé pas vous, mon amour. avant d'avoir eu vent de vous.
The natives in the Amazon worshipped him like a god.
Get him out. What are you talking about?
No.
We need to take it apart, learn how it works.
I don't want an intricate, beautiful thing destroyed.
We can do nothing. I'm sorry.
Don't do this, Eliza.
What is she saying?
Don't do this.
Oh, God, she's not even human.
If I told you about her, what would I say? I wonder.
Yeah? Where do shrimp go for cash in a pinch?
I don't know. Where do shrimp go for cash in a pinch?
The prawn shop. You know, Steve Fishman, his family owns a prawn shop.
No.
But he's not interested.
What's he want to do?
He wants to be a stand-up comic and tell jokes like that.
Just like that. Same level. He's the Fozzie Bear of the Sea.
Waka, waka, waka.
So, yes, welcome back.
Welcome back.
I...
From the Shape of Water.
I don't know if at the time that I watched it, I just wasn't old enough to get it or, like, what. But that movie was better than I remember.
It sounds like you were too busy sinking into the earth.
Yeah, I think I really was sinking into the earth. But that movie was so good. And, like, I don't remember it being, like, that amazing.
It was really good.
It was really good.
It was a lot of stuff happening there.
And it's very pretty. It's a very pretty movie.
Yeah, all of his movies are pretty like that.
That's true.
Yeah, really cool.
Yeah. He's got a good aesthetic.
He's got a really nice aesthetic. So, it's just a tender love story of a girl and a fisherman. A mute girl. And a fisherman who fall in love during the start of the Cold War. Mm-hmm. And then are tried to be kept apart by
politics.
G-men.
Yeah, G-men. That dang government getting in the way of love.
G-men and Russian spies.
Well, the Russian spy tries to help, but...
Well, yeah, but his...
His agency is not happy about it. Yeah,
they were not thrilled.
No.
They were also not in a good place with the fishmen.
No.
So, I mean,
No one loves a fishman, except for that nice mute girl and her wonderful
neighbor.
And
her coworker.
And her coworker. Well, I think her coworker loved her.
Yeah. And was, like, helping her out.
Right.
But, I mean, still. I think she got it.
Yeah.
I think she was in support of it at the end.
At the end.
Yeah.
Took her a while to get on board, but... She then got it.
Well, I mean, she helped her out. It was
she
cool.
did. All right. Are there any general trigger warnings that we want to do?
There's gun violence.
Gun violence. I don't want to say animal abuse, but like, what would you call fishman abuse? Fishman abuse?
I mean,
he's lightly tortured.
He is definitely tortured. I don't know, because he's not really an animal and he's not really a person, but it kind of triggers that way. So, I mean, there's some racism. I guess you could kind of file it under that as well.
Yeah. There's also sexual harassment.
There's definite sexual harassment.
I don't know what to call that one scene with his wife, because she seemed clearly not into it and he just told her to shut up.
Well, I think she was into
it. Well, yeah, but then wanted to stop and he told her to shut up.
Well, I think it was because
his fingers were bleeding. Like they're...
All right, well, we're getting ahead of it there.
Sorry. Sorry.
We're way ahead of it. Yeah, there's also some anti-gay sentiment.
Yes. Homophobia.
So, I mean, you know, I think... As far as the fish man aspect of it, I would almost say that was like racism. I don't really know how else, because he's not an animal.
Well,
he's his own thing.
Would it be like
I don't know.
I'm my own best friend. Would it be like speciesism? Speciesist?
I don't know. Is that if that's a thing?
I don't know.
I'm going to go with racism.
Okay. Racism.
Racism. I think that's
racism, but like in terms of fish.
In terms of fishmen. Yep. And also in terms of
and yeah, that too. There's yeah. also that.
Yeah. So there's two kinds. Neither of which are good.
Yeah. And he is like legit tortured. So if you have a yeah. like a problem with torture, that's
yeah.
bad too.
Yeah. That's a thing. And there's amputation.
Amputation. That's like really, really rough to watch too. It's not. I mean, there's the one bit.
Well, the one bit we don't see. And then the second
bit. Yeah, the second bit is gross.
I guess re-amputation?
Amputation. Yeah, it's not great. I mean, you're a nurse, and I feel like you still thought it was not great. You see all kinds of
I mean, it's
drugs.
Not... But yeah, but I mean, I don't see people doing it to themselves.
That's true. You just kind of see it happen.
Yeah, I mean, this is a... We're always been like a death positive house. We're death positive people, like, you know, circular nature of all things. And it's cool. And it comes for us all. And, you know, we're very accepting and have a healthy, you know, relationship with that. And we was it on a TikTok or somewhere we saw though there was someone who was posting about, you know, things of this nature. I think she was a mortician or something. And her little slogan was, "It's okay to decay." And where we said that was cool, but it's like, it's okay to decay as long as you are dead.
Yeah. It's okay to decay once you're already
once
dead.
Once you're already dead. You shouldn't be alive and have things that are decaying while you're here. Fingers, toes, things of that nature.
Like patches of your skin.
Yeah, everything should be like... nice and healthy and warm and, you know, with good blood flow.
Says the person whose hands are constantly frozen.
Constantly frozen. But, I mean, they're not right now. They're very pink.
Oh,
I
yeah,
have
they
good
look,
cap refill.
They
and
look
they're
pretty
not
okay
wrinkled
right now.
Well,
you do have
wrinkled.
Cap refill for once.
I know. I usually don't. But, I mean, they're moving and I
yeah,
have
no,
like,
no,
blood
no.
flow there.
She's
I mean,
fine. It's just like a fun bit.
Yeah, I do. My fingers get really cold
they
sometimes.
They get really cold.
Yeah. So... Yes, it is okay to decay as long as you are all the way dead. If you are sort of alive, if you're very alive and parts of you are not,
that's
not okay.
Okay. And this guy,
not okay.
He violates that rule.
He does. Yes.
And we'll get into him because I hate him altogether.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're supposed to.
You're supposed to. But yeah.
Okay. So should we do a late rundown of the plot?
Yeah. Let's do it. We don't have to spoil this one, so I don't know that I'll go all the way into it. But
no, you really should see it. I mean,
really
it's really
should.
Something to see.
Yeah. Do we want to do like our normal thing where we do like our times? Because we're kicking it off early on times here.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, our first uncomfortable moment is like right out of the gate.
Less than 5 minutes in.
Yeah.
I get through the initial credits and then.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Anyway. So it centers around the main character of Eliza, and she is mute. And she works with her friend Zelda at as like a cleaning woman at this like government facility. They
right.
work on the night shift, you know, shout out to all my night shift people.
Woo.
You know, and you know, they just do their thing, they clean. She is a mute, she does not speak.
But she can hear.
But she can hear just fine. And she has a neighbor who she's very close with. And his name is Giles, and he is an artist. And they live above a movie theater that kind of shows movies like all day and all night, and like no one ever goes to it. It's kind of just like an outdated movie house, I guess, where like the guy just keeps going because he loves it. Like,
and theirs is scientifically air conditioned.
Scientifically air conditioned. So we're just kind of following her, like in a normal day for her.
Yeah. Our first uncomfortable moment comes as she's getting ready for work. Times are 4 minutes 20 seconds to 4 minutes 47 seconds. She sets in like an egg timer, and then she gets in the bath and she masturbates. It's like her daily routine.
Well, she is also boiling eggs.
She is
she's
also
multitasking.
Boiling. She's multitasking. She's boiling eggs with her egg timer and also getting herself done. I don't know what to say. I hate saying this stuff.
You always do the uncomfortable moments.
I know I do. I feel like I'm very awkward about
I know. That's
them.
The fun.
I'm glad that y'all have fun with this, because I don't know that I do.
I do. Glad it's not me.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's our first uncomfortable. You don't see her doing it, but I think you do have full frontal nudity.
Oh, you absolutely
do. Yeah, you have full front. Mm-hmm. And her butt.
Yes.
So full front full
and full back. Full noodle. Full noodle. Yes, we've gone full noodle.
Full nudity.
Cannot be stopped.
Yeah.
So there you go. So we're kind of setting the tone for what kind of film this is. Well, I mean, not really.
Not really.
Not really at all.
Then she goes to work, where she meets up with her friend Zelda. Mm-hmm. And they're going through their day of cleaning up this government facility. And Zelda's a chatty Cathy. She likes to chit-chat and gossip about her life and her husband and, like, whatever's going on.
Right.
And then they go into a lab where there is this big pool of water. And I'm guessing, like, the foreman? I don't quite know what his position is.
Yeah, I don't really know what anyone's position is, because they're all, like, in a lab, but there's, like, government people and definitely security and other people, scientists and not, and I don't know. And there's people in charge of different things.
So we're the lab. I'm going to say foreman because I'm not sure. Fleming announces that they're getting a special asset coming in. So everyone needs to be on guard and very professional. And they also have a scientist helping them out, Mr. Stettler. Sorry. So in wheels this tank of water. And Eliza, being, you know, the nosy, curious person that she is, sneaks over and looks into the tank and taps on the glass and doonk. A hand presses against the glass, and then they're rushed out of the lab.
I mean, not for nothing.
Yes, I would also look in the tank. I think that all of us would. I think that's a very, like, yes, obviously I would. 100%. No doubt.
I mean, that's like, and we were kind of talking about this, like, she has a pretty good life. Like, you know, she has, like, this really cool apartment. It's big. I don't know that it's heated well or, like, the best maintained. But it has, like, so much character. It looks so cool. Which
it does have leaks. We find out that it does leak later.
I mean, eh. And I don't think she has a bed because she's always sleeping on the couch. But, like, it's pretty cool. And she works in this cool garment lab where there's nothing but secrets. I mean, the secrets that must come in and out of there on the daily. Like, the fishman... Sure. I think that's just one of many. Like, when you see them working, you see them, like, dusting all this, like, crazy,
yeah, like,
big
a
equipment.
Weird, like, rocket looking thing.
Like, all this
and then,
weird,
like, these, like,
stuff.
Weird computers.
Yeah, you don't know what's in there. So, I mean, the fishman, is it really that strange? I don't know. Like, I think if, you know, in other labs in there, I think there's probably equally as strange things happening.
Oh.
They just, this was,
yeah,
the one
probably
they happened to go into.
Yeah, the one that they happened to be assigned to clean.
Right.
So instantly she's intrigued by this, the lab and this fishman.
Right.
Her day ends. She goes back home, hangs out with her neighbor for a little bit. He's illustrating an advertisement for Jell-O.
Yeah. Cat's favorite thing.
I hate Jell-O, but he's like a really sweet guy. I like him a lot.
Yeah. So then we have another day where she wakes up and we have another uncomfortable moment, much like the last uncomfortable moment.
But this time it's short because you know what's happening.
Right.
This time it's 2 seconds. It's a blink and you'll miss it. 1546 to 1548.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, time goes on. So we're safe for another, what, like 20 minutes or so?
Yeah, like another, like, 15 minutes.
Okay. So 15 minutes of Zelda and Eliza kind of going about their day.
Doing their work thing.
Their work thing. So, I mean, they're very thorough. They're going in, they're cleaning. They clean the men's room. And that's where they kind of meet the antagonist of this film.
Strickland.
And he is, you know, a government guy.
He's
like
a
G-man.
He's like a creeper.
A smarmy creeper. He's kind of like, you know, when you think of that threatening white male, like, that's him. That's the guy. So they run into him in the men's room. They're cleaning and they're like, hey, you know, we'll like skedaddle. And he's like, nay, nay, I ain't worried about it. Go ahead and do your thing. I'm just going to pee in this urinal. La-da-da-da-do.
Well, no, no, no. He washes his hands first.
Yeah, then first he washes his hands.
Then he pees in the urinal without touching it. Like, hands on hips, pees.
Yeah.
Then he picks up his kettle prod and he leaves. And he makes, like, a comment. Like, a man should only wash his hands once when he goes into the bathroom, either before he pees or after. Never both. And when a man washes his hands can tell you a lot about that man. If he washes his hands twice, he's a weak man. Like, something ridiculous like that.
Well, I think you buried the lead of the giant kettle prod that he had with him. Because he's so concerned about his hand hygiene.
I just hated that line so much. I was like, that's so dumb.
You missed the fact that he was carrying, like, a 3-foot-long cattle prod.
He is.
That he casually laid down on the sink and is like, look, but don't touch. This is, like, some horrible cattle prod.
Yeah, this will, like, take a man out.
Right. So, I mean, you know he's a jackass. You know he's weird about public urination and
public urination.
When he washes his hands and when it's okay to eat a candy after you just pee.
He just seems like that, like, alpha dude bro male type that's, like, going around on TikTok and stuff right now.
And, you know, he's fine with, like, throwing his weight around. So you kind of establish him in that, you know, I don't know, 5-minute thing in the men's room as just, like, a total doucher.
You do.
Like, he's just, like, the worst guy. The worst guy.
He is.
So, cool, cool, cool. But the next time you see him, he's coming out of the lab where we know the Fishman is.
Right. And Eliza and Zelda had just gotten, like, done cleaning in there and gotten a better look of said Fishman. Full yes. Fishman in view.
Yeah. I mean, we know he's a thing now. We know, like, what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes out. And he's just, like, kind of stumbling into the hallway.
Covered, like, he's got, like, significant bleeding going on.
Yeah, everybody just kind of turns to look at him, and he, like, just kind of drops. And we find out that the last two fingers, his ring finger and his pinky finger, and his left hand, I think, have been
left hand
chopped off. So I guess the cattle prod didn't do him a whole ton of good.
A whole ton of good.
A whole ton of good.
So
he gets whisked away.
He gets whisked away.
By all the MPs and everything.
On a call with, I think, the general that we meet later, General Hoyt.
Yes.
And General Hoyt asks him if he's okay. And he says, or he's like, I heard you lost a finger. And he's like, yep, lost two of them. But it's okay. I still got my thumb, my trigger, and my pussy finger. It's like, that's so gross. I hate this man so much do I hate this man.
He's awful.
He's an awful man.
He's an awful man. But we also find out that the creature has been injured a little bit, because when Eliza goes in to check on him, he is bleeding a little bit. So we know that, you know, the Fishman probably was not just being aggressive for the sake of aggression.
Right.
He was probably, you know, cattle prodded into whatever he did to try and defend himself.
Right. And then as they're, Eliza and Zelda get sent back into the lab once the Fishman is, like, put away more to clean up the bloody mess.
They're like, you have 20 minutes.
And Eliza finds his fingers and puts them in her bag that she had from lunch.
Yeah, her lunch bag.
Her lunch bag.
Which is ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Just ridiculous pants.
But, yeah. A lot of what she does is just kind of like the spur of the moment, like weird stuff that you're just like, what? Okay. Yeah, she picks up the fingers and she has his ring and she like tries to stick him in the bag. And then Fleming comes back and he's like, the body parts. And she's just like, here.
And
then in a little sack.
Strickland complains because she got mustard on his fingers. So they might not be able to like heal properly or whatever.
Yeah, well, maybe you shouldn't have been cattle prodded the Fishman and you would be okay.
Right, like at least she got your fingers back for you.
Correct.
Yeah, and then Strickland goes home to his loving family of wife and 2.5 children.
Yeah,
minus the 0.5. And the kids go off to school. The one kid is very excited about his time capsule. And he's trying to talk with his father and, like, maintain conversation. And Strickland doesn't care.
Well, he did just have his fingers chopped off.
Very true.
I mean, he had a long day.
But I really feel like...
He's getting home in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Agreed.
I mean, you know, credit where credit is due.
I'm not going to disagree. I just also feel like it's kind of put there to be like he doesn't like super... Like, he's not, like, very affectionate towards his kids type of deal.
Yeah, but, I mean, his wife does kind of initiate the bedroom scene. She does kind of whisper in his ear, like, hey, meet me in here.
She whispers in his ear and, like, removes, like, lowers her shirt at the very least to reveal her breast. God, I hate my life.
I thought she did that when she was already in the bedroom.
Oh, yeah, she does. I thought that's what we were talking about.
No, I mean, he's at the breakfast table, and she's like, when you're finished, like, meet me in the bedroom.
When you're finished, let's go.
Yeah.
But even then, she still is, like, leading the way.
Yeah, so she was definitely interested.
Oh, she definitely did initiate. For sure. Yeah, right. So this happens 31 minutes, 39 seconds to 32 minutes, 5 seconds. And, I don't want to say this part. It's what? Your turn. It's
what do you mean you don't want to say it?
It's your turn to say the uncomfortable moment.
They're having sex. His ass is in the air. It's totally out. And she's just got, like, her skirts up with her petticoats, like, flying. And, you know, he's, like, going to town, whatever. And she's like, bro, like, bro. And he's like, what? And she's like, bro, your hand is like bleeding. And he takes his like gross bleeding hand and he like puts it across her mouth to stop her from talking.
She's so gross. Hold up, chill, slow down a moment, your hand is bleeding. And he's like, shut up, and just like stuffs his hand in her face.
Yeah, it was gross.
It's not okay.
She was just trying to be concerned, and he's like, take it, woman. It was like, with my bloody hand. Ew.
My bloody hand.
Yeah, with the dead fingers.
Yeah. It's not great.
It's not great. He's a jerk.
No.
Yeah.
It's not okay.
Full ass in the air. Full little white ass.
But then we have almost an hour before our next uncomfortable moment.
Yeah.
So much plot happens.
So, I mean, pretty much what happens is, I mean, the Eliza and the fishman become good pals.
They fall in love,
which moved very quickly from just like, here's an egg, to like, me and you forever.
Yeah. She like was bringing in her record player and playing records for him.
She's
like, kind of
teaching him sign
moments.
Language yeah. as they go along. You know, she's like becoming his friend. She's trying to, you know, all these things. And maybe it's more days than we're led to believe. I don't know. But I feel the relationship move very quickly. Even for a sexy fish beast, I don't know that I would have moved this quickly. But
this is where we need the director's cut, where it has all of the moments of all of those days.
Because literally, it's like, they're eating some eggs, they're listening to some tunes, then they're in love. So she goes to visit the fishman, and he's chained down.
Like out of the water.
Out of the water. Because he's an amphibious man. I guess calling him a fishman doesn't really do him justice, because he can breathe air for a little while.
Yeah, he's like a mud skipper kind of deal.
Yeah, they do call him the amphibious man in the credits. So
I'm so sorry, Shape of Water man.
I know.
Oh, I feel bad.
Yeah, so I mean, because they talk about like he's got like a separate diaphragm that shuts off one set of lungs from the other.
I thought Steve like could do that Mickey too, frog. But I guess
Steve can, but he identifies as a fishman because that's his name.
Oh, okay.
he was a freshman first. So they do call him an amphibious man, but for my purposes, I'm calling him a fishman. And he's chained out of the water, like on a platform. He's hurt. He's bleeding, a whole thing. And she sees this, and then she has to hide because everybody's coming in. The general's coming in.
But little does she know, when she put her lunch down to be like, oh my God, are you okay? A hard-boiled egg fell out of her lunch.
So then the general comes in. the scientist comes in. There's like a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people. Our evil guy Strickland had noticed the egg when he's like first like zapping this guy, saying, "Hey, you're gonna behave for these people."
Because he can't get enough of that cattle prod.
He just loves zapping this nice amphibious fishman for no reason.
For no reason. He's just chilling there.
And then he's like, oh, is that sound you crying? I hate it. Zap, zap, zap.
Makes him make the sound more.
Like, that's awful. Yeah, but then all of the scientist and the general and everyone comes in because he's displaying this fishman to them.
And probably my favorite character in all of us is Bob. Bob the scientist.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Robert Hofstetler. Yeah, yeah, he's Bob. Best. Bob.
He's my favorite. I'm just going to call it.
He does give
us
his real name at some point, but I don't remember what it is.
It's Dmitry.
Dmitry.
He's a Russian spy, but he is also a scientist first.
He is.
And he's there, and he hears the nefarious plan that they're just going to vivisect the fishman. Mm-hmm. And just crack him open and see what makes him tick.
Because that's what Strickland wants to do, and the x-rays are not giving conclusive enough details, and that's what he thinks is the best plan.
Right, because they need to do this for space exploration.
For space, I think it's space.
I think is what it is, like how they're going to try
and space race thing.
Try and get people to be better astronauts by not breathing
the way that people breathe. We didn't need to do that because we had our wonderful boy, Kubrick. So just film it
beforehand. Film it anyway.
We're not saying it didn't happen, but it didn't happen when they say it happened.
Correct.
Or it did, and they just had a problem with the footage.
Something like that.
Anywho.
So he hears the plot. He sees Eliza hiding. So, and he'd kind of seen her before, too.
Like feeding him an egg.
Feeding him an egg. And so he's kind of like watching. He's not really stopping it. He's not telling anyone. He's just kind of observing and like, well, what's all this then? You know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So then he sees her hiding and, you know, he kind of like puts two and two together that like her and the fishman
are a thing.
And, you know, friends, probably doesn't assume that they're that much of a thing, but, you know, they're at least
they
like
close.
Each other.
Yeah, they're
close.
Buddies.
So
they were roommates.
Yeah. So he becomes aware of this. So he goes to plead his case to the general, who's got 5 stars and can do whatever the hell he wants. And Eliza kind of peeps on that, and she sees that it goes badly, and that the general still wants to kill the fishman. Because Bob the scientist is like, he doesn't want to kill the fishman. She doesn't want to kill the fishman. The fishman doesn't want to be killed, but everybody else is like, no, 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 we got to do this. We got to stop the Russians, blah, blah, blah. This is so
right.
In order to do that,
power.
we have to kill this fishman, which is
right.
Dumb.
Doesn't make any sense.
She hatches a plot to
steal the fishman.
Yeah.
Rescue?
To have him escape.
And
to break him
bathtub,
out. To which, break him out of jail.
And like
of
have
lab
him
jail.
Live in her bathtub, which... In my
well,
opinion.
I mean, that wasn't the plan to live in the bathtub. The plan was to release him,
okay.
But just to live there
temporarily.
Right.
But in my opinion, that sounds like every, like, young child's thing of, like, oh, we're just going to steal a penguin from the zoo and it can live in the bathtub. Like, that's what it sounds like.
I've been waiting the whole time for you to draw the parallel with that Chapel Roan video.
Which Chapel Roan video?
And I can't, and it never happened.
I don't think I know that Chapel Roan. I only know like 3 of the Chapel Roan videos.
It's for casual.
Oh, yes! I'm not as familiar with that one, as that one's not one of my favorites.
It just ends very differently.
It does, yeah.
I'm patiently waiting, and you never brought it up because I was going to be like, oh, yes, I'm wildly familiar with it and be like, cool for a minute, but I couldn't because you never brought it up. I'm so upset.
It's because I don't know that music video very well.
I just like stumbled across it and I was like, what's all this then?
Shout out to Chapel Roan, living our Chapel Roan summer, or at least I am.
I'm always hot to go.
Dude, we were at the beach and I taught my young like cousins the hot to go dance, and bro, It was like the cutest thing. Oh my God.
It was absolutely precious.
It was adorable.
It was so precious.
It was so cute. So precious.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Anyway, live in the bathtub until she can release him. There's a canal that goes out to the sea that fills in October when the rains come, and that was the plot. So she had to live there for a little while. So she concocts this whole plot. She gets her neighbor involved.
Because he got fired from the Jell-O ad.
He got fired from the Jell-O ad. He tried to hit on the guy at the pie shop. The guy at the pie shop was turned out to be like a total dick.
Yeah. Homophobic, racist dick.
We find out all of this. We're like, oh, God.
In like a matter of 5 minutes. Like, he seemed like a really sweet guy. And then it turned around so quickly.
So quickly. So then Eliza went to him and was like, we need to steal the fishman. And he's like, I'm not stealing the fishman. And then she's like, come on, man. Like, he's alone. He has nothing. He sees me for who I am, not my deficits. And he doesn't care. And I need to do this. If we do nothing, he'll die. And he's like, he's not even human. And she's like, if we don't do nothing, then neither are we. But he's like trying to get his job back by doing this Jell-O ad. And then he gets there and the Jell-O people turn him down. And the pie guy turns out to be a jackass. And then he comes home with his toupee in his hand. And he's like, you were totally right. And you're my friend. And we're going to steal the fishman. So yeah,
because he realizes in that moment he's also alone. Yeah. And this is her chance to not be alone. And he doesn't want her to be alone.
Yeah. So they concoct this whole thing. And meanwhile, the Russian spy goes to his people and is like, look, we've got this fishman. We don't know anything about him. I mean, they revere him as a god. He could be like this whole ass thing. Like, they're going to kill him. We need him. We can learn from him. Like, let's get him.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's do our own thing. And they're like, we don't need to learn. We just need the Americans not to learn. Here's this thing. The Israeli popper?
Yeah.
Papushka. you put it next to a fuse box and let it go. And then you inject him with this poison and he's dead and we're out. And he's like, bro, what the hell? But, you know, they're Russians and they don't play. So he was like, all right, I'll take this stuff. So he's got that to do. She's got her plan. She goes to enact her plan. He figures out that she's got a plan. He's
like
got
through a she has coincidences.
Yeah,
there.
She's got a part of a plan. He's got part of a plan. They mush their plans together
and have one whole plan.
And have one whole plan. And just when you think that her plan is not going to work at all, mm-hmm. here he comes, and like the two halves of a plan like come together, and they're able to get the fishman with like a bunch of soggy towels into the back of a laundry truck and get him home.
I don't think Bob's character gets enough credit, but he really is like the hero of the film.
He really is. And, you know, because he's putting the science first there, man.
Yeah.
And he's
just like our boy, Robert West. Herbert West. God damn it. Just like our boy, Herbert West. Science comes first.
You know, Jeffrey Combs probably could have played that role too.
Jeffrey Combs probably could have played that role.
You know, no,
not
no,
that,
no,
not
nothing
that,
bad to
Michael. Sorry, Michael Stuhlberg. Sorry, not that Michael Stuhlberg did not do a great job.
He did, and he also had that Russian down. So
he did.
There you go.
He did.
But he gives her the plants that he needs in his bath water, and tells her that he has to have the salt. And he has to have the fresh protein diet. Like, he has all the specifics on the fishman mm-hmm. that she did not know. So he gives her, like, all of that. And they set off. So she gets him home. She gets him in the tub. He's alive. He eats a cat.
Yeah, he eats a cat. He accidentally scratches the neighbor. He runs away to the theater.
That, like, all of this happens.
All of this happens. He heals the neighbor and gives the neighbor hair.
Yes. He does have like these crazy powers. It's amazing.
And it's so there's this one moment where he is in the tub and she's like kneeling next to the tub, and she touches his chest, and he like glows all blue and his like little gills frill, and then she's like, no, I can't. Ah, and leaves and goes to, like, she's going to go to bed on her couch. And then is like, I'm being stupid. Of course I can. And that brings us to our next uncomfortable moment. 1 hour, 23 minutes, 56 seconds to 1 hour, 24, 10. So very short. But this is the first time that we see the fishman and Eliza share their love.
Okay.
You left me in charge. I'm gonna say weird things.
All right, they express themselves physically.
They have whoopee.
Yep. So there you go.
Yep.
Yeah. You kind of missed one of my favorite scenes, though, which is where she gets him the little, like, card.
Oh, the card. Yeah.
That says, like,
when he first gets there, yeah, she gets him a card.
Like, thankful for you being my friend or whatever.
I'm so glad you're my friend.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's got it's the little guy holding a fish in a fishbowl. She's like, you're the fish and I'm the guy. It's so cute.
It's really cute.
Yeah. All right, so we have that going on. Then, you know, she's got to go back to work like nothing happened.
Like nothing happened. She cannot wipe the grin off her face, though. She is just grinning, like, the whole time.
So, I mean,
security has cracked down at work.
Yeah.
Because, obviously the fishman got stolen by someone. They think it's Russian spies, which partially it is.
Yeah.
And they did find the, what is it, papushka?
They found the papushka.
The papushka.
The Israeli popper.
And they're like, yep, Russians. Which they make an anti-Semitic, well, I guess it's not, but they make a comment.
They just say they hate the Jews, but they love their toys.
Yeah.
Which at the time, yeah, they did. So, I mean, Strickland is on it. I mean, he kind of knew as the plan was unfurling that something was afoot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been kind of suspecting Bob because, you know, Bob was campaigning to not kill the fishman. So, I mean, he kind of had his eye on him anyway, and he knew that something was wrong because there was a laundry truck that was there when there shouldn't have been. So he was already, his antennae were up.
Mm-hmm.
So he was already on it. So now he's just like really looking, and he knows it's his ass with the general if anything should happen to the fishman. He's the one that brought the fishman out of the Amazon or wherever, South American river.
I think it was South American.
That he found him in and, you know, brought him there as the asset. So he knows if he doesn't find him, it's his ass. So he's like all over this thing.
Right. And he suspects, you know, Russian spies because Cold War. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So the Zelda ended up helping with the theft of the fishman. But Zelda and Eliza are just trying to get through work. And Eliza's super excited and does not care anymore because she has her fishman. What else should she need?
I mean, not much.
Right? Not much, right? And Zelda's like, girl, you need to chill. I will break under pressure. Like, shut up. And things are going well for the two of them for a while. They don't get found out.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, Strickland knocks over a glass in his office and then asks the secretary to call for Eliza to come clean it up.
And I kind of thought he was calling her because he suspected her.
That's what I thought as well.
Of something, but he didn't. He just wanted to be a total creepo.
Yeah, and he, like, makes some really disgusting comments about her muteness.
Yeah.
That I would rather not repeat, if I'm being honest.
He just thinks that he could get her to make noise. Like, if she made no noise at all, like, he could probably get her to do something. And that he was into the fact that she couldn't speak, which, you know, I guess kind of, like, harkens back to him putting his gross hand over his wife's mouth so that she would shut up. And, you know, that kind of thing. So, I mean, he was just, like, a total creeper. Like, yes. As much as you hate him that much more.
Right. It's another one of those alpha male type of deal type of thing.
Yeah.
He does not suspect her for whatever reason. Not much after our first.
I don't think he suspects her because, I mean, she's a cleaning lady.
Because she's just a cleaning lady.
She's a woman. Like, she's mute, so for him, she's defective. She has scars on the side of her
neck. And that's
just
another thing that he holds over her in that creeper moment is she's less than.
Yeah.
And he doesn't mind that she's less than.
But, yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I
guess that's why he doesn't suspect her, because how could someone less than pull something like that off?
Right. He doesn't really think of her at all unless it's to be a creeper.
Yeah. Not much longer after our first time with the fish, she happens again. Eliza floods her bathroom and has more time with the fish. This happens.
Her entire bathroom. She freaking puts she's
towels
got wood floors.
Wood
floors. There's nothing.
It's an old theater.
She's
as well.
Above a theater. She's got wood floors. So there's nothing really there, and she stuffs some towels under the door. Wood door, and then turns on the sink and the tub and all this other crap, and she's I'm gonna flood this thing, and it's how freaking irresponsible.
Indeed.
I'm just saying, you're renting. What are you doing?
Yeah.
So she floods this whole thing so she can have full-on sexy time with Fishman.
Yeah, that happens. So crazy. 1 hour 30 minutes 1 second to 1 hour 32 minutes 21 seconds, and you don't see them the whole time because it kind of flashes to the theater, which is now getting leaks coming through the floor of the theater, and we check in with our good neighbor
Giles. Yeah, because the landlord comes up and starts banging on the door hey, what is going on? I have 4 customers. I can't afford to give refunds. Now there's leaks coming through. What is happening? There's water pouring out of her apartment door into the hallway. So Giles, being the good guy that he is what the heck? And he goes in there and he sees all this water creeping around the edge of the bathroom. And he opens the door and water just pours out.
Yeah, because she filled up the entire up the entire bathroom with water.
Yeah, it was weird. And he just sees the two of them there and he's okay.
And he just closes the door. He's a cool guy. And then he draws a cool portrait of them.
And he's talking to her later. She's drying her hair and she's he gave me hair. He healed my cat.
He loves the fishman now.
Yeah. So they're on such good terms, even though he ate his cat.
Yeah. He doesn't mind anymore. It's okay. No. But that's our last uncomfortable moment.
Yeah.
Some wild and crazy stuff happens after that. It gets intense.
Yeah. As you can imagine, it gets really wild.
It gets really wild because we have, a G-man trying to solve everything and get, his reputation back. And we have, Russian spies that reported that they killed a fishman that the agency they're working for seems to think that was not killed. It's a whole thing. So definitely recommend checking it out to find out what happens.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously it's a good movie. It won all these awards. I mean, I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's just a good watch.
It is, which I guess brings us to our ratings. On a good movie scale, what are you going to give it?
I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yes. I'd say it's a delightful film.
I'm going to give it a 9, actually.
You're going to give it a 9?
I'm going to give it a 9.
Wow.
I really liked it.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it was just really well done. All of the shots were pretty. It doesn't lull in any place.
No, it doesn't. It keeps it moving.
It keeps it moving. And it was just a really good movie.
I agree. Very good. Very good movie.
Yeah.
All around recommend.
How about uncomfortable though?
I mean, I mean, it is kind of uncomfortable.
There are some generally uncomfortable moments for sure.
Yeah, and I mean you're not gonna be able to skip that first one.
No, it happens too quick.
It happens too quick. So I mean you're there.
Unless you get to the movie late. But
yeah, and miss the credits, and then you're just oh,
and
it's
the initial voiceover type of deal from Giles.
Yeah, I mean you could probably peel off for some of the other ones, but you definitely. Okay. You definitely have to hit at least that one. I'm going to give it six.
I was thinking seven.
Okay.
Just because, like, that's really awful. And then,
yeah,
like,
the hand thing.
The hand thing. And just the way that Strickland talks in, like, almost every scene he's in. That's not skippable. Like, that's his character.
Right.
So I would give it, like, a seven.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I'll up it. Maybe I'll also go up to a seven.
Not to, like, pull you in one way or another.
No,
but
no. That's valid. That's valid. Yeah. Yeah, it does have some really rough moments, but it's still so worth it.
It is. It was a great recommendation. Thank you, Steve. We're very glad that we watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that brings us to Sochmeads.
Take a trip down to Sochmeads. I just like glanced over at next month's movie and I already don't want to do it.
Oh, yeah. We went rough next month. We were like getting away easy and then we were like, let's make it special. Let's make it rough. But the one after that's it's fun.
Yeah, October is going to be fun. September is not a good time.
Get ready.
Enjoy this cute fish movie because the next one isn't going to be as exciting as good.
Okay.
It's fun for us. It won't be like, we'll be sitting here going, oh, it was such a delightful film. I really liked it. Everyone should watch it. It'll be not that.
Is this better or worse than Requiem for a Dream?
I mean, what's worse than Requiem for a Dream? I mean, does anything get worse than that?
That's why I'm scared.
Does anything get worse than that? No. No.
Is it on par?
As I recall it, it's not good.
Oh, brother. All right, so let's go through our social media, and then we have like tons of shout outs and stuff to do for all the vendors that we saw.
Correct.
You can find us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, which is Don't Look Podcast. You can find us on Instagram at don't_look_podcast. I don't think there's an apostrophe in don't, but I'm not 100 on that.
And I'm at catsmom75 on Insta.
On Insta. And I think on Facebook too.
I don't think I have one on Facebook. I think it's just Insta.
Okay. You can reach us via email if you would like a sticker. Our email is don'tlookpodcast@gmail.com. There's no apostrophe in the email because they are not a valid character. Shout outs. First off, shout out to the Colonial Theater for doing Blobfest. That was so much fun.
Yeah, it's always a good time.
Always a good time.
This was like a really, really good year.
It was. Normal credits shout outs to Chuck for doing our wonderful, wonderful intro. And Marshall, or our wonderful, wonderful disclaimer, and Marshall for doing our theme music, and Billy for doing our new logo. We appreciate all three of you very, very much.
Yep, and you can see our new logo on our stickers.
Woo! Please email us for stickers. And then let's get into some of the wonderful shops that we had. Oh, and shout outs to Matt McGinnis and Aurora Gorealis for a wonderful job at the at Blobfest. Matt McGinnis, you did a great job hosting the costume contest. I hope that you'll do it again in the future. That was a lot of fun.
And he also did the Riffing Melee.
Yeah, that was a good time. If you didn't get to see this one for whatever reason, he's doing one in October for the Devil Bat, again at the Colonial Theater. And I think that will be with the same people, but I'm not sure. But Matt McGinnis will be there, and he's hilarious and wonderful. So definitely check it out. And then let's talk about some of the cool vendors that we got stuff from.
Yeah.
We got stuff from Batty Boutique.
I get a lot of stuff from Batty Boutique.
I remember this. Yeah, we get
she
a lot of
stuff.
She
does a lot of like some fun pastel goth stuff that is just really adorable. She does a lot of earrings, necklaces, hair accessories that are really, really cute. She's got a really cool vibe that I enjoy a lot.
Yeah, we got a lot of like vaguely similar type of stuff from Backwoods Jewels.
Yep, Backwoods Jewels has some really sweet earrings, hair clips and stuff. I got a really cute candy corn hair clip that I love. And she hooked me up with a necklace for one of my friends. Even though she didn't have any, she just like made one real quick, which was awesome.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got like neat designs and stuff too.
Yeah.
I think this is where we got the shoe wings ghost with the most boutique.
Yeah, we got little charms for the back of our Doc Martens.
Oh, yeah, the charms. Yeah.
Yeah, they're really cute. They say future ghosts and they're in little hearts. They're just so adorable. Oh, and I got a hair tie from them too. That's really cute.
We got some very cool Christmas ornaments from
Noshing Nostalgia.
They were really cool. And I got like a super cool Silver Shamrock Countdown to Halloween board. I'm very excited to use.
Yeah, they had some really like deep cuts there too, which I really appreciate. That was a really cool place.
They did. And they were like very sweet.
They're
as
like
well.
Wood burned things. And they just really like I got Barf and like Pizza paint. The Hut from Spaceballs, which is like one of my all time faves. So I was really excited about that.
And they had Snarf from Thundercats, which is like my boy. But we had to leave him there for deals and stuff. But it's OK. Shout out to Louie from Geek Boy Press.
Yep.
He makes such cool nerd
stuff. I'm wearing
stuff.
A shirt right now.
My mom's wearing his Clue shirt. The 1+2+1. 1+2+2+1. You know what I mean.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. It's like one of my new faves. I wear it a lot.
It's a really cute shirt. Yeah. And like he has like a bunch of nerdy stuff there and really cute pins and stuff. We love. And he's a really great guy.
And pins and patches.
He will gladly talk to you about any nerdy thing that you want to talk to him about. So definitely check his stuff out. We got some very cool pins as well from Puncture Wound Pins. They had such cool pins. They were like really big and intricate and like
a lot of deep cuts there too. Really, really cool. There's a pin. I mean, if you guys are listening to this, and hopefully that maybe you've got some really obscure movie knowledge. Pin is a movie we could probably do.
I've never seen it, so
it's a little bit on the more on the obscure side, but there's a movie called Pin, and she has a pin of the movie Pin, which is fantastic.
She has a very cool
correct my ass up
Town That Dreaded Sundown pin where the trombone moves.
Actually slides is
so
which
good.
Is so cool.
She has a Sleepaway Camp pin where it's the aunt and it's so good. The aunt.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
His mom, her aunt.
Yeah.
And it's so cool. I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
No one's going to recognize her unless they know.
Right. I mean, you might have like the Angelo, but I mean, to have the aunt is really cool. They have a really cool Candyman pin that I got. They got Howling Pit, just like anything. Like, and the way that we were talking to the gal who makes them, and she just seems to change them up a lot. And she has a lot of knowledge and joy for what she does. And mm-hmm. It was just, you could tell in the products. We probably
really,
could have gotten like so many more.
It really seems like she's getting making pins for herself, and then other people also want them. And that's exciting for her.
Yeah.
Much like this podcast that we make for ourselves.
Right. And I don't see the card there, but we got to talk about Delaware Mortuary Museum.
I was just about to talk about them, yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure we didn't lose them.
And Creepy Dolls of Perkasie.
And Creepy Dolls of Perkasie, yes.
Which, the one doll that we got, I love so much. Like, she's probably my favorite Creepy Doll that we've gotten, and we've gotten quite a few Creepy Dolls from Creepy Dolls of Perkasie. I think we have, what, 2, 3, 4, 5 now? 4 or 5?
2, 3, 4. I think we have 5.
Yeah, so we have quite a few
creepy dolls
from Creepy Dolls.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not like a huge Creepy Doll person.
I am also not. I don't really like dolls.
But the Creepy Dolls of Perkasie are the best Creepy Dolls I've ever seen.
They really are.
And I don't even know how to describe what makes them. Like, they're not over.
They're not over the top.
I see a lot of them where it's just like they take a teddy bear and they shove like a
skull.
Like a skull. And they put some like, you know, perma blood all over it and blah, blah, blah. And I mean, you know, that's definitely an aesthetic. It's just not one that I personally enjoy a whole ton. I think there's definitely a market for it. I think they're done well. And, you know, I appreciate them. It's just not something that I would want for my home. Maybe if I was doing my haunt, then I would, but not for just like everyday display. But, and I've seen some other words like, you know, the baby dolls, and they kind of paint them up as like Freddy or Jason or, you know, Kevin Spaulding or what have you.
Or the ones that are like full of cracks and it's like, okay, you went a little over the top there. And it's like, or again with the blood or like it's some of them, they take you out of the moment of the aesthetic. And Creepy Dolls has a really great way of being subtle, but not too subtle that it's not noticeable.
Yeah, I don't even know if I call them subtle.
They're really weird looking. I guess it's not subtle, but it's more subtle than a lot of other people try and do when they try and make a creepy doll.
I guess I almost want to say that it's more of like a fine art piece.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Than like a abstract or like a modern art piece. Like it looks like the doll was made that way.
Yes.
Like they didn't alter it. It was just like this was what the doll was always supposed to look like. Yeah. And they're really terrifying. And
they're really well done. And
they're lovely.
A lot of them I would say are like hauntingly beautiful, and then some of them are like downright, that gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, I did get one that Kat hates.
It gives me the heebie-jeebies so much, and it's because it has a smile. A mouth open teeth smile. And dolls never have that, and I think that's really what gets me.
Yeah, I've been moving it around trying to scare Smosh with it. He's been moving it back.
Oh, okay.
She's been like all over the place.
Does he know that you're doing it?
Yeah, I think he knows. Oh. I'm doing it, but like, yeah, I'll find some more places to put her in the coming weeks. I think this will be like an ongoing thing.
Yeah, one of the ones that we got, I just adore her. She's like my wife now. We're great. But the other one looks like, I cannot remember her name. I got so excited to say it that I forgot. Freaking Cheeky from Dune. God damn it.
Cheeky. She looks like one of the Bene Gesserit sisters.
I was going to say sister, but I could not remember the...
from Dune. She's kind of got the bald head, and she's got the black with like the veil and everything. It's pretty... I had to have her.
She's supposed to be like another wedding, like black wedding type of deal, but she really does look like a Bene Gesserit.
It's pretty awesome.
It's so good.
Yeah. It's a really, really cool looking.
Yeah, and mom's a big Dune fan.
Big fan of especially the David Lynch version. I just love it. And yeah. So I had to do it. Yeah, really cool. And Delaware Mortuary Museum, fabulous.
Oh,
fabulous. And we gotta make a trip out there to actually see the museum and like give them a call and set up, because they do I think it's by appointment only that you can come and like see all their stuff. This is the second year that we bought from them.
They are such sweet people, though.
Lovely people. You know, just to chit chat with a little bit. And I got my sweet embalming machine, and I love it so much. It's not the all-in-one that you see a lot. It looks like it's from the 30s. We did like a little tiny bit of research on it, and
it was hard
like
to
a,
find.
Yeah,
so we
and I still haven't found one that looks exactly like it, so I have to dig deeper. But it's like two pieces, so it looks like almost looks like a little tiny air compressor, and it's got like these two gauges on the front, and it looks like it has eyes,
and then it's got like little
tentacles.
And then
it's got hoses that come out. It's got like the Thickums rubber hoses from back in the day,
which creep mom out.
Which I think is awesome. Like the thing that always it reminds me of, if you ever seen Bram Stoker's Dracula with Winona Ryder and Gary Oldman, and he goes to do the blood transfusion for Lucy. And they do the little whoosh, whoosh, whoosh in the machine, and it's got one going from his arm into the jug, and then the other one going into the other arm. It's those kind of hoses, and it's the big glass jar jug thing that they all connect into. So it's like two come off of the embalming machine off of the front, like a cuttlefish, like tentacles that come off.
It really does look like a
cuttlefish. And it goes into the jar, and then you have like the business end that would have gone into the bod, like that comes off over here on this weird little swing thing. And it's just like the wildest looking thing, and I need to find just like the perfect spot to stick it. And I'm wondering if I could put something in the jar, but I don't know if I want to open the jar.
I don't think you want to open the jar.
So I don't know. I don't know. I have thoughts on what to do with it.
I really want one of the all-in-one machines, but last year there was a much wider selection, and it reminds me a lot of when you go onto the QVC and they're selling the Vitamixes, and they're like, we have 15,000 different colors, but that with embalming machines. So
it does look like
that. I have my dream color, and they did not have it this year, but one day I will get my purple embalming machine.
But it was really cool. They always have some really cool like authentic stuff there. Yeah. We got
and it's like legit authentic, which is wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, we got the candle holders last year that we have on either side of the fireplace, and I mean, you know, we got the whole backstory about how they were using the home funerals, and they came in the cases that still had, you know, the name of the home that used them and all that. So really, just for the spooky feeling that I kind of that makes me feel comfortable in my home, like, that's the kind of stuff I'm looking for, and really, really fortunate to have those guys around where we can lay hands on stuff like that. Yeah. I kind of went in wanting an embalming machine, and then came out with this really cool embalming machine that I really like. So I'm happy about that.
And I got my funeral flag, which I don't know why I wanted it so bad, but I'm so happy. You were very hype
over it.
That I have it. I hung it up in my room. It's so cool. I'm so happy that I have it. Like, I'm giddy over this dumb thing.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, there were so many more vendors and just like cool things to see at these two events, really. I mean, I don't even know, like, I'm kind of at a loss. Like, I mean, for Blobfest, the whole town of Phoenixville, like, turns out, like, all the shops and everything get involved, and it's just a lovely sense of community.
Shout out to Rebel Hill with their probably our favorite Blob beer. Yeah, Eaten Alive.
It's so good. Oh, and the mayor of Phoenixville, Mayor Peter, made was it July 12th Blob Day?
He did.
So it's an official day now, which is pretty awesome in the town of Phoenixville, in the borough of Phoenixville.
Oh, and shout out to Jennifer, the owner of the Colonial, for doing like a really good job of putting this whole thing together.
It was done really well. Really, really good time. All right.
Any other peepalos that we want to shout out?
I mean, probably, but I can't think of them right now.
No, and I could go on.
If we have missed you, I'm very sorry. I mean, I just want to say a big hello to the Super 8.
Big hello to the Super 8.
Yeah.
We are thinking of having Super 8 merch made, but we're not sure yet. So we'll keep you posted.
I know. If anybody wants any, they'll have to let us know.
Yeah, please let us know.
Like, because we're still such a baby pod.
We are. Please chit chat with us. We will chit chat right back with you, like, we are here for it,
just not me in the next handful of days, because I'm got no time for anything but work.
Yeah, well,
sad.
Once this podcast comes out,
that'll all be over.
We'll be in the past,
thank God.
Please just reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you guys, and I don't know. Some of the people that we met over Blobfest and over the Leesport Market are just so cool. I really could go on about them for like ever, but I won't. So.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you to everybody. Thank you to Super 8. Please keep listening. We're going to keep putting out some real fun content, and just buckle up for September, because I already don't want to do it. And let me see, I guess if you are, if there's, if the bathroom doors are rocking, if there's a whole lot of water seeping out of your neighbor's apartment and you know they got a fishman in there, the best thing actually, no, because that's not going
to
work.
You don't want to listen to that.
You don't want to listen to that either.
If your friend
tells you,
okay,
no,
I
if you're thinking of swiping a fishman from a secret government laboratory, and you only have a half-ass plan, and a nice scientist comes up to you and helps you with that plan, but you still suspect he's a Russian spy, the best thing I can tell you is don't look.
Listen.
Thank you.
Anywho.
That's what we should put on our on the back of our hats. We'll be like, don't look back. Anywho.
You're such a derp.
Yeah, but I say that kind of stuff all the time.
God, I'm a derpist. Oh, doesn't make it any less derpy.
I know. It's just like I figured you would be used to it by now. Be used to my derpness.